In the Africa soul, when they see the black flag, they don't bother. They know it'd be taken advantage if they make war when nobody in charge. The heads of the men of Dahomey got getting to smell very bad. Oh, Lord, I wish they buried them. I don't like to see my people head in the soldiers' hands. And the smell making me so sick. The next day, they make camp all day so that the people can smoke their heads, so they don't spoil no more. Oh, Lord, 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 we got to sit there and see the heads of our people smoking on the stick. We stay there in that place the 9 days. Then we march on to the Dahomey soil. Kazula was no longer on the porch with me. He was squatting about that fire in Dahomey. His face was twitching in abysmal pain. It was a horror mask. He had forgotten that I was there. He was thinking aloud and gazing into the dead faces in the smoke. His agony was so acute that he became inarticulate. He never noticed my preparation to leave him. So I slipped away as quietly as possible and left him with his smoke pictures. Chapter 6 Barracoon. It was Saturday when next I saw Cudjo. He was gracious, but not too cordial. He picked me peaches and tried to get rid of me quickly, but I hung on. Finally, he said, "Didn't I tell you not to come bother me on Saturday? I got to clean the church. Tomorrow's Sunday." "But I came to help you, Kazula." "You needn't talk if you don't want to." "I thank you come help me. I want you to take me in a car into Mobile. I getting me some turnip seed to plant in the garden." We hurriedly swept and dusted the church. Less than an hour later, the Chevrolet had borne us to Mobile and back. I left him at his gate with a brief goodbye and tackled him again on Monday. He was very warm this day. He glimmered and glinted with light. I must first tell him about the nice white lady in New York who was interested in him. "I want you to write her a letter into New York. Tell her Cudjo say 1,000 time, much obliged. I glad she sent you asking me what Cudjo do all the time." I talked about the lady for a few minutes, and my words evidently pleased him, for he said, "I tell you mo' about Cudjo when he was in the Dahomey. I tell you right. She good to me. You tell her Cudjo like please her. She good to me and Cudjo lonely." They march us into Dahomey, and I see the house of the king. I can't tell all the towns we pass it to get to the place where the king got his house. But I remember we pass it to place called Echo, Meko, and Ajase. We go in the city where the king's got his house, and they call it Lomi. Either Abomey or Cana. The house the king live in himself, you understand me. It made out of skull bones. Maybe it not made out of the skull, but it look it that way to Cudjo. Oh, Lord. They got the white skull bone on the stick when they come meet us. And the men what march in front of us, they got their fresh head high on the stick. The drum beat so much, look it like the whole world is the drum they beat on. That the way they fetch us into the place where the king got his house. They place us in the barracoon stockade, and we rest there ourselves. They give us something to eat, but not very much. We stay there 3 days. Then they have a feast. Everybody sing and dance and beat the drum. We stay there not many days. Then they march us to Esoku, the sea. We pass here a place called Badagry. Then we come into a place called Dwida. It is called Widda by the whites, but Dwida is the Nigerian pronunciation of the place. When we get into place, they put us in a barracoon behind a big white house, and they feed us some rice. We stay there in the barracoon 3 weeks. We see many ships in the sea, but we can't see so good, 'cause the white house between us and the sea. The Cudjo seed a white man. That's something he ain't never seen before. In the Takoi, we here to talk about the white man, but he don't come there. The barracoon we in ain't the only slave pen at the place. They got plenty of them. But we don't know who the people in the other pens. Sometime we holler back and forth and find out where each other come from. But each nation in a barracoon by itself. We not so sad now. We all young folks, so we play game and clam up beside the barracoon so we can see what going on outside. When we there 3 weeks, a white man come into barracoon with two men of the Dahomey. One man, he a chief of Dahomey, and the other one, his word changer. They make everybody stand in a ring, about 10 folks in each ring. The men by theyself, the women by theyself. Then the white man looky. He looky hard at the skin and the feet and the legs and in the mouth. Then he choose. Every time he choose a man, he choose a woman. Every time he take a woman, he take a man too. Therefore, you understand me, he take 130. 65 men with a woman for each man, that's right. Then the white man go away. I think he go back in the White House. But the people of Dahomey come bring us a lot of grub for us to eat it, cause they say we gonna leave there. We eat it a big feast. Then we cry. We sad, cause we don't want to leave the rest of our people in the barracoon. We all lonesome for our home. We don't know what gonna become of us. We don't want to be put apart from one another. But they come. Tie us in the line and lead us round the big white house. Then we see so many ships in the sea. Cudjo see many white men, too. They talking with the officers of the Dahomey. We see the white man that buy us. When he see us ready, he say goodbye to the chief and giddy in his hammock and they carry him across the river. We walk behind and wade the water. It come up to the neck. And Cudjo think once he gon' drown. But nobody drown, and we come on the land, by the sea. The shore, it full of boats of many costs. The boats take something to the ships, and fetch something way from the ships. They coming and going all the time. Some boat got white man in it. Some boat got poor African in it. The man that buys, he get in a crew boat, and go out to the ship. They take the chain off us and place us in the boats. Cudjo don't know how many boats take us out on the water to the ship. I, in the last boat, go out. They almost leaving me on the shore. But when I see my friend Kibi in the boat, I won't go with him. So I holler. They turn round and take him. When we're ready to leave the crew boat and go in the ship, the many costs snatch our country cloth off us. We try save our clothes. We ain't used to be without no clothes on. But they snatch all off us. They say, you get plenty of clothes where you going. Oh, Lord, I so shame. We come to America so naked. And the people say we naked savage. They say we don't wear no clothes. They don't know the many costs snatch our clothes away from us. Soon we get in the ship. They make us lay down in the dark. We stay there 13 days. They don't give us much to eat. Me so thirst. They give us a little bit of water twice a day. Oh, Lord, Lord, we so thirst. The water tastes sour. Footnote. Vinegar was usually added to the water to prevent scurvy. End of footnote. On the 13th day, they fetch us on the deck. We so weak we ain't able to walk ourselves. So the crew take each one and walk round the deck till we get so we can walk ourselves. We looky and looky and looky and looky, and we don't see nothing but water. Where we come from, we don't know. Where we going, we don't know. The boat we own, called the Clotilda, Cudjo suffer so in that ship, oh Lord.
I so scared on the sea.
The water, you understand me, it make it so much noise. It growl like the thousand beasties in the bush.
The wind got so much voice on the water. Oh, Lord.
Sometimes the ship way up in the sky. Sometimes it way down in the bottom of the sea. They say the sea was calm. Cudjo don't know. Seem like it move all the time. One day, the color of the water change, and we see some islands. But we don't come to the shore for 70 days. One day we see the color of the water change, and that night we stop by the land. But we don't get off the ship. They send us back down in the ship, and the next morning, they bring us the green branch off the tree. So we Africans know we about finished the journey. We been on the water 70 days, and we spend some time lying down in the ship till we tired. But many days we on the deck. Nobody ain't sick, and nobody ain't dead. Captain Bill Foster, good man. He don't abuse us and treat us mean on the ship. They tell me it a Sunday us way down in the ship and tell us to keep quiet. Captain Bill Foster, you understand me, he's scared the government folks in the Fort Monroe gonna catch the ship. When at night the ship move again. Cudjo didn't know then what they do, but they tell me they towed the ship up the Spanish Creek to 12 Mile Island. They took us off the ship, and we get on another ship. Then they burned the Clotilda because they scared the government gonna arrest them for fetching us away from Africa soil. First, they divide us with some clothes. Then they carry us up the Alabama River and hide us in the swamp. But the mosquitoes, they so bad, they about to eat us up. So they took us to Captain Burn Mayer's place and divide us up. Captain Tim Mayer, he took it 32 of us. Captain Burns Mayer, he took it 10 couples. Some they sail up the river into Boca Chica. Captain Bill Foster, he took it to 8 couples. And Captain Jim Mayer, he get it the rest. We very sorry to be parted from one another. We cry for home. We took away from our people. We 70 days crossed the water from the Africa soil. And now they part us from one another. Therefore we cry. We can't help but cry. So we sing. Eh, ye, aye. La na se wu. Re, re, aye. Na na sa ho ru. Our grief so heavy. Look like we can't stand it. I think maybe I die in my sleep when I dream about my mama. Oh, Lord. Kozula sat silent for a moment. I saw the old sorrow seep away from his eyes, and the present take his place. He looked about him for a moment and then said bluntly, I'm tired talking now. You go home and come back. If I talk it with you all the time, I can't make it no garden. You won't know too much. You asked it so many questions. That do. That will do, etc. Go on home. I was far from being offended. I merely said, well, when can I come again? I send my grandson a letter, you know. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Chapter 7. Slavery. Captain Jim, he took me. He make a place for us to sleep it underneath the house. Not on the ground, you understand me. The house, it high off the grounds and got the bricks underneath for the floor. They give us bed and bed cover, but tain't enough to keep us warm. They don't put us to work right away, 'cause we don't understand what they say and how they do.
But the others show us how they raise the crop in the field. We are astonished to see the mule behind a plow to pull. Captain Tim and Captain Burns may have worked day folks hard. They got overseer with the whip. One man tried whipping one of my country women, and they all jump on him and take the whip away from him and lash him with it. He don't never try whip African women no more. The work very hard for us to do, 'cause we ain't used to working like that. But we don't grieve about that. We cry 'cause we slave. In that time we cry. We say we born and raised to be free people and now we slave. We don't know why we bring away from our country to work like this. It's strange to us. Everybody looking at us strange. We want to talk with the other colored folks, but they don't know what we say. Some make it a fun at us. Captain Jim, he a good man. He not like his brother Captain Tim. He don't want his folks knocking beat all the time. He see my shoes get raggedy, you know? And he say, Cudjo, if that the best shoes you got, I get you some more. Now that's right. I no tell it lies. He work us hard, you understand me? But he don't work at his folks like his brother. They got the two plantation, one on the Tennessee River and one on the Alabama River. Oh, Lord, appreciate they free me. We don't have enough bedclothes. We work it so hard. The women's, they're working in the field, too. We not in the field much. Captain Jim got it 5 boats run from the Mobile to the Montgomery. Oh, Lord, I work it so hard. Every landing, you understand me, I tote wood on the boat. They have the freight, you understand, and we have to tote that, too. Oh, Lord, I'm so tired. No sleeping. The boat leak and we pump it so hard. They ain't got no railing on the boat. And in the nighttime, if you don't watch it close, you fall overboard and drown yourself. Oh, Lord, I appreciate they free me. Every time the boat stop it at the landing, you understand me? The overseer, they whipping boss, he go down the gangplank and stand on the ground. The whip sticky in his belt. He holler, hurry up there, you. Run it fast. Can't you run it no faster than that? You ain't got enough load. Hurry up. He cut you with the whip if you ain't run fast enough to please him. If you don't get a big load, he hit you too. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. 5 years and 6 months I slave. I work it so hard. Look alike, now I see all the landings. I call all them for you. The first landing, after the Mobile, it the 21-mile bluff. The next, it the Chestang. The next, it the mouth of the Tennessee. Then the 4-gun shorter. Then we pass Tom Bigby. Then the next, it the Montgomery Hill. Then the next, it Choctaw Bluff. Then the Game Town. Then Tay Creek. Then Annapolis. Then Claiborne. Then Low Peach Tree. Then Upper Peach Tree. Then we come to the White Bluffs, then the Blue Bluffs. The next day after that, it the Yellow Jacket. The river, it is shallow there sometime. The boat have to wait for the tide. The next day after that is Cahoba, then Selma, then Bear Landing, then Washington. Then the last place, it the Montgomery. I think I remember them, you understand me, but I ain't been there since 1865. Maybe I forget it some. Don't look it like I never forget. I worked so hard and we ain't had nothing to sleep it on but the flow. Sometimes the bluff is so high, we got to chunk the wood down to 3 times before it get down where the river is. The steamboat didn't used to burn it the coal. It burned it the wood. And it uses so much of wood. The war commences, but we don't know about it when it starts. We see the white folks running up and down. They go into Mobile, they come out on the plantation. Then somebody tell me the folks is way up in the north make the war so they free us. I like hear that. Cudjo don't want to be no slave. But we wait and wait. We hear the guns shoot us sometime, but nobody don't come tell us we free. So we think maybe they fight about something else. The Yankees, they at Fort Morgan, you understand me. They're there on account of the war, and they don't let nothing come past them. So poor folks, they ain't got no coffee or nothing. We parch the rice and make it a coffee. Then we ain't got no sugar. So we put the molasses in the coffee. That don't taste so good, you understand me, but nobody can't do nothing about it. Captain Jim may send word he don't want us to starve, you understand me? So he tell us to kill hogs. He say the hogs, they his, and we his, and he don't want in no dead folks. Therefore, you know, we killing hogs, but we can't get in nothing. When we at the plantation on Sunday, we so glad we ain't got in no work to do. So we dance like in the Africa soil. The American colored folks, you understand me? They say we savage, and then they laugh at us and don't come say nothing to us. But Free George, you understand me, he, a colored man, don't belong to nobody. His wife, you understand me, she been free long time. So she cook for a Creole man and buy George 'cause she married with him. Free George, he come to us and tell us not to dance on Sunday. Then he tell us what Sunday is. We don't know what it is before. Nobody in Africa saw don't tell us about no Sunday. Then we don't dance no more on the Sunday. Know how we get a free? Could you tell you that? The boat I own, it in the Mobile. We all on there to go into Montgomery, but Captain Jim Mayer, he not on the boat that day. Cudjo don't know why. I don't forget. It April 12, 1865. The Yankee soldiers, they come down to the boat and eat the mulberries off the trees close to the boat, you understand me? Then they see us on the boat and they say, y'all can't stay there no more. You free. You don't belong to nobody no more. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad. We asked the soldiers where we going. They say they don't know. They told us to go where we feel like going. We ain't no more slave. Thank the Lord. I so appreciate they free me. Some of the men, they owned a steamboat in the Montgomery and they got to come in the Mobile and unload the cargo. Then they free too. We ain't got no trunks or we make it a bundles. We ain't got no house, so somebody telling us come sleepy in the section house. We done that till we could get it ourselves someplace to go. Cudjo don't care. He a free man then. Chapter 8. Freedom. After they free us, you understand me? We so glad. We make it a drum and beat it like in the Africa soil. My countrymen come from Captain Burns' Mayor plantation where we is in the magazine point, so we be together. We glad we free, but then you understand me, we can't stay with the folks what own us no more. Therefore, where we gonna live, we don't know. Some the folks from across the water, they done marry and got the wife and children, you understand me? Cudjo not married yet. In the Africa soil, when the man got it a wife, he build a house so they live together and therefore the children come. So we want build it a house for ourselves. But we ain't got no land. Where we going build it our houses? We meet together and we talk. We say we from across the water, so we go back where we come from. So we say we work in slavery 5 years and 6 months for nothing. Now we work for money and get in the ship and go back to our country. We think Captain Mayer and Captain Foster, they ought to take us back home.
But we think we save money and buy the ticket ourselves. So we tell the women, now we all want to go back home. Somebody tell us it take a lot of money to carry us back into Africa soil. Therefore, we got to work hard and save the money. You must help, too. You see fine clothes, you must not wish for them. The women tell us they do all they can to get back in their country. And they tell us, you see fine clothes, don't you wish for them neither. We work hard and try to save our money. But it too much money we need. So we think we stay here. We see we ain't got no ruler, nobody to be the father to the rest. We ain't got no king neither, no chief like in Africa. We don't try to get no king 'cause nobody among us ain't born no king. They tell us nobody don't have no king in America soil. Therefore, we make Gumpa the head. He a nobleman back in Dahomey. We ain't mad with him, 'cause the king of Dahomey destroy our king and sell us to the white man. He didn't do nothing against us. Therefore, we join ourselves together to live. But we say, we ain't in the Africa soil no more. We ain't got in no land. Therefore, we talk together, so we say, they bring us away from our soil and work it as hard to 5 years and 6 months. We go to Captain Tim and Captain Jim, and they give us the land, so we make it houses for ourselves. They say, Cudjo, you always talk it good, so you go tell the white man and tell it them what the Africans say. All the Africans, we work it hard. We get it work in the sawmill and the power mill. Some us work for the railroad. The women work too, so they can help us. They don't work for the white folks. They raise it a garden and put it a basket on the head and go into Mobile and sell the vegetable. We make it a basket, and the women sell it them too. Therefore, you understand me, it one day not long after, they tell me to speak it for land so we build it our houses. Cudjo cutting timber for the mill. It a place where the schoolhouse at now. Captain Tim may have come sit on the tree Cudjo just chop it down. I say, now is the time for Cudjo to speak it for his people. We want land so much I almost cry. And therefore I stop at work and look here at Captain Tim. He set on the tree chopping splinters with his pocket knife. When he don't hear the axe on the tree no more, he look up and see Cudjo standing there. Therefore, he asked me, Cudjo, what make you so sad? I tell him, Captain Tim, I grieve for my home. He say, but you got a good home, Cudjo. Cudjo say, Captain Tim, how big is the Mobile? I don't know, Cudjo. I've never been to the Four Corners. Well, if you give Cudjo all the Mobile, that railroad and all the banks, Cudjo don't want it 'cause it ain't home. Captain Tim, you brought us from our country where we had land. You made us slave. Now they make us free, but we ain't got no country and we ain't got no land. Why don't you give us peace this land so we can build ourselves a home? Captain jump on his feet and say, fool, do you think I gonna give you property on top of property? I took it good care of my slaves in slavery, and therefore I don't owe them nothing. You don't belong to me now. Why must I give you my land? Cudjo tell Gumpa, call the people together, and he tell them what Captain Tim say. They say, well, we buy ourselves a piece of land. We work it hard and save, and eat molasses bread, and buy the land from the mayor. They don't take off 1 5-cent from the price for us, but we pay it all and take the land. We make Gumpa the head, and J.B. and Kibi the judges. Footnote. Gumpa is African for Peter. End of footnote. Then we make laws how to behave ourselves. When anybody do wrong, we make him appear before the judges, and they tell him,
He got to stop doing like that, 'cause it don't look nice. We don't want nobody to steal, neither get it drunk, neither hurting nobody. When we see a man drunk, we say, there go the slave what beat his master. That mean he buy the whiskey. It belong to him, and he ought to rule it, but it don't got control of him. Now that's right, ain't it? When we speak to a man what do wrong, the next hit time he do that, we whip him. Therefore, we builded the houses on the land we buy after we vied it up. Could you take 1 acre and a half for his part? We don't pay nobody to build our houses. We all go together and builded the house for one another. So then we get the houses. Cudjo don't build in no house at first, 'cause he ain't got no wife. We call our village African Town. We say that 'cause we want to go back into Africa soil. And we see we can't go. Therefore we make it to Africa where they fetch us. Gumpa say, my folks sell me, and your folks, Americans, buy me. We here, and we got to stay. Free George come help us all the time. The colored folks what born here, they pick at us all the time and call us ignorant savage. But Free George, the best friend the Africans got. He tell us we ought to get into religion and join the church. But we don't want to be mixy with the other folks what laugh at us. So we say we got plenty land, and therefore we can build our own church. Therefore we go together and build the old landmark Baptist church. It the first one round here. Cudjo dismissed me by saying abruptly, when you come tomorrow, I like you take me down the bay so we get us some crab.
Chapter 9. Marriage. He had on his battered hat when I drove up the next day. His rude walking stick was leaning against the door jamb. He picked it up and came on out to the car at once, and we drove off. Without the last prompting, he began to talk about his marriage. Abila? She a woman, you understand me, from across the water. They call her silly in American soil. I want this woman to be my wife. She ain't married, you understand me, and I ain't got no wife yet. All the folks from my country, they got family. What did Cudjo say so that this woman know he want to marry her? I tell you that. I tell you the truth how it was. One day Cudjo say to her, I like you to be my wife. I ain't got nobody. She say, what you want with me? I want to marry you. You think if I be your wife, you can take care of me? Yeah, I can work for you. I ain't going to beat you. I didn't say no more. We got married 1 month after we agreed between ourselves. We didn't have no wedding. Whether it was March or Christmas Day, I don't remember now. Therefore, you know, we live together, and we do all we can to make happiness between ourselves. Therefore, you understand me, after me and my wife agree between ourselves, we seek a religion and got converted. Then in the church they tell us that ain't right. We got to marry by license. In the African soil, you understand me, we ain't got no license. The man and the woman, they agree between themselves. Then they married and lived together. We don't know nothing about they have license over here in this place. So then we getting married by the license. But I don't love my wife no more with the license than I love her for the license. She a good woman, and I love her all the time. Me and my wife, we have 6 children together, 5 boys and 1 girl. Oh, Lord, we so happy. Poor Cudjo. All the folks done left him now. That's so lonely. We been married 10 months when we have our first baby. We call him Ya Jimmy. Just the same like we was in the Africa soil. For America, we call him
Alec. In the Afriki, we got it one name, but in this place, they tell us we needed two names. One for the son, you understand me, and then one for the father. Therefore, I put the name of my father, Olulue, to my name. But it too long for the people to call it. It too crooked, like Kazula. So they call me Kajo Lewis. So you understand me? We give our children two names. One name because we not forget our home. Then another name for the American soil, so it won't be too crooked to call. The next child, we name him Anonoto. Then we call him Jimmy. The next one name Polidau. He a boy too. Then we have Atenia, and we call him David. The last boy, we call him my name, Kajo. But his African name, it Fishiton. Then my wife have one little girl, and we call her Ibu Osi. Then we call her Sili, after her mama. All the time the children growing up, the American folks, they picks at them and tell the African people they kill folks and eat the meat. They call him my children ignorant savage and make out they kin to monkey. Therefore, you understand me, my boys, they fight. They got to fight all the time. Me and their mama don't like to hear our children call savage. It hurted their feelings. Therefore, they fight hard. When they whip the other boys, they folks come to our house and tell us, yo boys mighty bad, Kajo. We afraid they gonna kill somebody. Kajo meeted the people at the gate, telling them, you see the rattlesnake in the woods? They say, yeah. I say, if you bother with him, he bite you. If you know the snake killing you, why you bother with him? Same way with my boys, you understand me? If you leaving my boys alone, they not bother nobody. But they keep on, all the time. Alec this, Jimmy that, Polly this and Tonda. David a bad boy. Kajo fighting my son. Nobody never say what they do to the African savages. They say he ain't no Christian. They tell what the savages do to them, just like we ain't got enough feelings to get hurty. We Africans try raise our children right. When they say we ignorant, we go together and build the schoolhouse. Then the county send us a teacher. We African men don't wait like the other colored people till the white folks get it ready to build us a school. We build one for ourselves, then ask the county to send us the teacher. Oh, Lord, I love my children so much. I try so hard to be good to our children. My baby, Sili, the only girl I got, she took his sick in the bed. Oh, Lord, I do anything to save her. We get it the doctor. We get it all the medicine he tell us to get. Oh, Lord, I pray, I tell the Lord, I do anything to save my baby life. She ain't but 15 year old, but she die. Oh, Lord. Look on the gravestone and see what it say. August 5th, 1893. She born 1878. She don't have no time to live before she die. Her mama take it so hard. I tried telling her not to cry, but I cried too. That the first time in the American soil that death find where my door is. But we from cross the water know that he come in the ship with us. Therefore, when we build our church, we buy the ground to bury ourselves. It on the hill, facing the church door. We Christian people now. So we put our baby in the coffin, and they take her in the church, and everybody come look down in her face. They sing, shall we meet beyond the river? I've been a member of the church a long time now, and I know the words of the song with my mouth.
but my heart, it don't know that.
Therefore, I sing inside me.
O todo o wa, en lo ya li, o uran, kanira ra, kaniro ro.
We bury her there in the family plot. She looking so lonesome out there by herself. She's such a little girl, you understand me, that I hurry and build a fence round the grave so she have protection. 9 years we heard it inside about our baby. Then we get heard it again. Somebody call himself a deputy sheriff killed a baby boy now. He say he the law, but he don't come rest him. If my boy done something wrong, it his place come rest him like a man. If he mad with my cudgel about something, then he ought to come fight him face to face like a man. He don't come rest him like no sheriff, and he don't come fight him like no man. He have words with my boy, but he's scared face him. Therefore, you understand me, he hide it hisself in the butcher wagon. And when it get it to my boy's store, Cudjo walked straight to talk business. This man, he hiding himself in the back of the wagon and shooting my boy. Oh, Lord. He shooting my boy in the throat. He got no right shooting my boy. He make out he scared my boy gonna shoot him. And shooting my boy down in the store. Oh, Lord. The people run, come telling me my boy hurt it. We took him home and lay him in the bed. The big hole in the neck. He tried so hard to catch his breath. Oh, Lord, it hurted me see my baby boy like that. It hurted his mama so her breast swell up so. It make me cry, cause it hurts Celie so much. She keeps standing at the foot of the bed, you understand me? And looking all the time in his face. She keep telling him all the time, Cudjo, 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 baby. Put whip to your horse. He hurt it so hard, but he answer her the best he can, you understand me? He tell her, Mama, that's what I've been doing. 2 days and 2 nights my boy lay in the bed with the noise in the throat. His mama never leave him. She look at his face and tell him, put whip to your horse, baby. He pray all he could. His mama pray. I pray so hard. But he die. I so sad I wish I could die in place of my cudgel. Maybe I don't pray right, you understand me? Cause he died while I was praying that the Lord spared my boy life. The man that killed my boy, he the pastor of Hay Chapel in Plateau today. I try forgive him. But Cudjo think that now he got religion, he ought to come and let me know his heart done change. And beg Cudjo pardon for killing my son. It only 9 years since my girl died. Look like I still hear the bell toll for her when it toll again for my fishiton. My poor African boy that don't never see Africa so.
Chapter 10. Kuzula learns about law.
They don't do nothing to the man what kill him, my son. He a deputy sheriff. I don't do nothing. I a Christian man then. I a sick man too. I done get hurty by the train, you understand me?
Cudjo tell you how he get hurty. I tell you just like it were. Cudjo, don't forget it. It in March, you understand me, and I make it a God.
It the 12th day of March, 1902.
It a woman called me, you understand me, to plow the field for her. She say, Cudjo, I like to get you plow the garden so I can plant the sweet potatoes.
I'll pay you. I agree to that. Therefore, you understand me, I get it up early the next morning and go plow the garden for her. So then, when I get through with hers, I can plant my garden. I don't finish her garden, because my wife, she calling me and scold me. She telling me, Cudjo, why you go work it hard like that for you eating your breakfast? That ain't right. You gonna be sick. I got your breakfast ready long time. You come eat. I go home with Celia and eat the breakfast. Then I think it going rain. So I said I plant my beans. Therefore, you understand me, I tell my wife, come to the field with me and helping me plant the beans. She say, Cudjo, why you want me in the field? I can't plant no beans. I tell her, come on and drop the beans while I held them up. She come with me and I show her how. After a while, she say, Cudjo, you don't need me drop no beans. You can't work without no woman round you. You bringing me here for company. I say, that's right. We ain't got enough beans. So I went to the market and asked the man for early beans, but he ain't got none. Therefore, you understand me, I get him my wife some meat and come home. Then I feed him a horse, and my wife, she cooking. So then I curry the horse in a sprinkle rain. I stop it and study. I don't know if I go get him more beans in the mobile or if I wait. I decide to go fetch the beans. Therefore, I asked my wife to give me money. She put $3 on the mantelpiece. I asked her, silly, why you give me so much in money? I don't need no $3. She say, spend what you need and bring it the rest back. I know you ain't gonna waste the money. Then I hitch up the horse and go in the mobile to get it the beans. Soon as I get the beans, I turn back to go home. When I reach the government street and common, it to Ellen and railroad track there, you understand me? When I approach the track, another rig going very slow in the middle of the road. So I make the pass at the rig, and just when I pass it and get out on the track, the train rush it down on me. Oh, Lord, I holler to them to stop, cause I there on the track, but they don't stop. It a switch engine, you understand me? It rush it on and hit the buggy and knock me and hurt my left side. Oh, Lord, the horse get it scared and run away. My boy David find him next day and fetch him home. Somebody see the train hit me and hear me holler for them to stop. They come pick him up and carry me to the doctor office. He give me the morphine. A white lady on Government Street see me all hurty, and she see that I took care of. When I go home, she send me a basket and visit me. She say the railroad ain't got no right smash up the buggy and hurting me. I in the bed 14 days. They broke 3 ribs. They ain't rung no bell. They ain't blow no whistle. She say she gon' see the company. Therefore she go in the office of the L&N. The man in there telling her, we ain't going to do nothing. It was daytime. Can't he see? When I get able to get round, the lady telling me, get me a lawyer, and he make it a company, pay me for hurting me and destroy the buggy. Therefore, I go in the office of Lawyer Clark. He a big lawyer. Could you tell him, I ain't able to hire you. I want you to go to the company. I give you half. The lawyer sued the company. The next year, 1903, in January, they send for me to appear in court. The judge say, the first case this morning is Cudjo Lewis against the L&N for $5,000. I look it hard. I say to myself, who tell him that? I didn't tell him I want $5,000. The railroad lawyer say, we ain't going to give him nothing. Well, Lawyer Clark talk too. He say, I all heard it. I never be able to work no more. They pull off my short and look it at the left side and the doctor say no. Cudjo can't work no more. Then lawyer Clark say, the railroad ought to take care of me. Done crippling me so bad. The railroad lawyer say, they're not going to give me nothing. They say it broad daylight. Ain't this Cudjo got no eyes to see the great big train? Lawyer Clark say, the train got a bell, but they didn't ring it. They got a whistle, but they didn't blow it. The railroad track it laying right across the road. How can the city of Mobile let it, the company make it the street dangerous and don't make it in pay when people get hurty on their track? He talk a long time. Then we all go out to courthouse to eat at the dinner. I tired, so I think I go home. I go get us some flesh in the market to take home to Celia. David, he stay in the court. He know the market I like, and therefore he run kitchen me in the market before I go home and tell me, Papa, the judge give you $650 from the company. The lawyer say you come tomorrow and get your money. I don't go next day, but I send David. The lawyer say, that too soon, come back next week. Well, I send and I send. But Cudjo don't get in no money. In the 1904, the yellow fever come into Mobile, and lawyer Clark take his wife and children and get on the train to run into New York away from the fever. But he never get it in the north. He die on the way. Cudjo never know what come of the money. It always a hidden mystery how come I not killed when the train is standing over me. I thank God I alive today. The people see I ain't able to work no more, so they make me the sexton of the church.
Chapter 11 Cudjo's friends down the bay caught us a marvelous mess of blue crabs. We left these people late in the afternoon with many lingering exchanges of good wishes. On the way home, we saw some excellent late melons in front of a store and bought two of them. I left one melon on his porch and took the other with me. At the gate, he called after me, you come tomorrow and eat a crab with me. I like you come keep me company. So the next day about noon, I was sitting on the steps between the rain barrels eating crabs. When the crabs were gone, we talked. Let Cudjo tell you about our boy David. He's such a good boy. Cudjo don't forget that day. It is the Saturday. He come home, you understand me, and find me sweeping the church. I've been a sexton long time then. So he asked me, Papa, where Mama? I tell him, she in the house. Therefore he go in the house, you understand me, and ask his Mama what she gonna have for dinner. She tell him she got the baked fish. He say, oh, I so glad we got baked fish. Give me my dinner quick. His mama asked him, when did you ever see me give you anything to eat before your pa? He say, never. She say, you take your back then. Maybe that time your pa here to eat his dinner. The boy run him back out to me and tell me make haste so he get something to eat. He hungry. I chop it wood. So he take the axe and chop it wood hisself. I say, go on, son, I ain't weak yet. I can chop this wood. He say, no, I don't want you chop wood, and I right here am strong. Therefore he chop it wood and carry it in the house where his ma can reach it. Then we eat our dinner, and David wash it hisself, and his mama put out the clean clothes for him to put on. He got on the honor shirt. But he ain't got on the top shirt. He ain't got no button on the honor shirt. So me and his ma see the flesh. So I say, son, fasten your clothes so your mama don't see the skin. He look at himself. Then he asked me, who first saw me naked? Mama. Then he laugh and put on the rest of the clothes. He say, Papa, Mama, I go in the Mobile and get it the laundry. Then I have clean shirts. I asked him, how long before you come from town? He say, not long.
Maybe I catch the same car back. So he go leave the house. After a while, we hear somebody they come laughing and talking. Celia say, David got a friend with him. I look it to see who David got with him, but it ain't David. Two men come tell me, Uncle Cudjoe, your boy dead in Plateau. I say, my boy not in Plateau. He in the Mobile. They say, no, the train kill your boy in Plateau. I tell them, how can the train kill my David in Plateau when he not there? He gone in the Mobile to get his laundry. He be back after a while. Celia say, go see, Cudjoe. Maybe it not our boy. Go see who get killed. Then I asked the men, where that man get killed you telling me about? They say, on the railroad track in Plateau. Therefore, you understand me, I go follow the people. Then I get it to the place where the big crowd stand round looking. I go through the crowd and looking. I see the body of a man by the telegraph pole. It ain't got no head. Somebody tell me that's your boy, Uncle Cudjoe. I say, no, it not my David. He lay there by the cross ties. One woman, she faced me and asked the Cudjoe, which son of yours is this? And she pointed at the body. I tell her, this none of my son. My boy go in town, and y'all tell me my boy did. One African man come and say, Cudjoe, that's your boy. I asked him, is it? If that my boy, where his head? He showed me the head. It on the other side, the track. Then he lead me home. Somebody asked me, Cudjoe, your boy did. Must I told the bell for you? You the sexton. You told the bell for everybody else. You want me told it for David? I asked him. Why you want to toll the bell for David? He ain't dead. The African man told the people pick up the body and carry it home. So they took the window shutter and laid the body on it and fetch it to Cudjoe's gate. The gate, it too small. So they lift it over the gate and place it on the porch. I'm so worried. I wish it so bad my David come back from town so the people stop saying that my son owned the shutter. When they placed the shutter on the porch, my wife, she scream and fall out. The African man say again, Cudjoe, that's your boy. I say, if that's my son, tell me where to head. They brung it in a box and I look it down in David's face. Then I say to the crowd, get off my porch. Get out my yard. They went. Then I fell down and opened the shirt, and pushing my hand in the bosom and feel the marks. And I know it, my son. I tell them, told the bell. My wife look at my face, and she scream and scream, and fell on the floor and can't raise herself up. I run it out the place and fell on my face in a pine grove. Oh, Lord! I stay there. I hurt it so. It hurted me so to hear Celia cry. Those who had come across the water come to me. They say, Uncle Cudjoe, come home. Your wife won't you. I say, tell Celia don't holler no more. I can't stand it. She promised me she won't holler if I come home. So I got back to the house. I asked it a friend, where the head? He say, there yonder in the cracker box. I tell him, I want you to put it there on the neck and fasten it so that when people come in the morning, they won't know. My friend, he fastened the head so it don't look like it cut off. Therefore, next day when people come looking in his face, he looked just like he sleep.
to bear toll again.
Our house is very sad. Look at luck, all the family hurry to leave and go sleep on the hill. Polly, very mad because the railroad killed his brother. He want me to sue the company. I asked him